You're listening to the Call Me Mr. You, the podcast, your new home for inspiration, family, sports conversations, and a lot of other stuff. We're your all-purpose pod for an all-purpose life and your weekly mirror check before you go change the world, baby. Enjoy the show. Let's go. Welcome back to the all-purpose pod for an all-purpose life, wherever you are today and however you're listening to the Call Me Mr. You, the podcast. Thanks again for making us a part of your morning, your day, and your week. We're your weekly mirror check before you change the world, baby. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and of course, the Twitter. Download, like, share, and subscribe. We appreciate you guys. Thank you. Good morning, Herb, Bo. What's happening, brothers?
How's it going, guys?
The greatest part of my day has just begun.
That's what I'm talking about. This is... Cheers. On Monday, here we are. Drink it in, baby.
Know it.
It'll be a long hour. But yeah, man, this has been quite a football laden weekend, man. You guys were telling me offline, man, are you watching football, especially on Saturday? A lot of college to talk about, man. Anything that stands out right off of the top from Saturday?
Some of the bigger guys flex their muscle, you know, Georgia. Established themselves and said, okay, like we should be number one. And if you go come for the crown, you better not miss. Michigan, very emotional in their game. But absolutely, I don't know if that says more about Michigan to me or more about Penn State. I just don't think they're ever ready, you know, and it just kind of proves it. So, and then Oregon and Washington with big wins. So,
I mean, nobody in the top 10 like faltered. Like, if you were a top 10 ranked team, like, you came in and you did work.
Right.
Including Ole Miss?
I guess they were number 9.
Were they top 10?
Yeah, it was just barely.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, they were playing another top 10 team. Like, what do you want? Someone had to lose.
Yeah. It's high. Yeah. All right. So, off the top, man, there's so much stuff to talk about college wise. Jump in and help me out here. Okay. So, let's start off with Colorado. They've been kind of the, not really the infatuation, but we talked about them a lot on this show. I think it was only 2 weeks we didn't discuss them because we had so much NFL in those 2 weeks. But they had to win two more games to be bowl eligible. The season's a success regardless because they had one win last year, I think it was. So everything they're doing is gravy right now. But how do you guys feel about them in their last two games? Are they going to make a bowl? Think it's not going to happen? How you feel? Herbert shaking his head.
I don't think they make it. Arizona was one of the games they needed to win. Like, you knew they weren't going to beat either of the ranked teams, but they had two unranked teams in the middle. That being said, Arizona is playing great football, so I can't hate on them at all. But that was a game that they had to win. They need to win next week, obviously. If they can upset for the final game of the season, they could sneak into one, but it looks like they're going to miss a bowl game at this point.
Yeah. When we covered the last four games, I think we said it, the middle two were the ones that they own, you know, the only ones they had a shot. And they had a shot at Arizona.
You said it.
They did.
Yeah. Going to Utah, I just don't see that at the end of the year.
They play defense. Yeah. So,
without a question, it seems like it's the same thing that we talked about from what was it, week one? Did we discuss the same thing?
Exactly.
One defense. Did we not discuss this? Like,
literally,
why did I think about this on their end? This is like the same thing. We're going to the end of the season and still haven't resolved it. It's like it's still the same.
Yeah,
they're going to lose sleep over that one because that's what's going to be one of the reasons why they probably won't get a bowl game. How about USC and Oregon, man? I know that I tried to hang for the whole thing.
That went how I thought it'd go.
Yeah,
two quarters all I had.
And I was out. Now that went exactly how I thought it'd go. Like, Washington and Oregon are the top teams in this conference, hands down, and they're showing you why. SC, they're a great offensive team, but they don't have a semblance of defense at all. And as soon as they get against a team that can play some D, they lose. right? If they don't score every time, then they're not going to win because the other team is pretty much going to score every time.
Right. And it seemed like they took a kind of a lull, I guess, in the second quarter and third. You know, it's like they tacked on a touchdown at the end of the second quarter, tacked on a touchdown at the end of the fourth quarter to make the score closer. Because that was about as close to an Oregon domination as really you're going to see. So,
yeah,
so someone who stayed up to the very end, it was very disappointing. Like, you know,
that was not me.
Yeah. See, well, you didn't miss anything.
That's where it's nice to be on the West Coast.
Yeah.
the game nice still ended you, a reasonable time.
Right.
How nice to you. Yeah. My Twitter feed was getting blown up by people talking about why is Caleb still playing and that kind of stuff. How do you guys feel about that? We discussed a little bit last week, but how do you feel about him continuing to keep playing throughout the course of the season? I think it's good for him for his mentality, for the team that he was leading and still is leading, and for the NFL.
It's great for the scouts. It's great for the scouts because it shows that he has the mental fortitude to continue to push even when they're getting beat down. Because otherwise, like if you just give up, you're like, oh, I'm winning a Heisman. We're beating everybody. Now I'm on a couple of game losing streak. Right. I'm good. Well, you know what? In the NFL, you're going to go to a bad team. So you're going to lose a lot, especially initially. It's very rare to come into the league and just ball out because you're going to a team with the number one pick, which means they're bad.
You think he's winning a Heisman?
No, he won last year.
Coming off of that, yeah.
And he was a favorite coming into this season. Right. They played well at the beginning, and then you know, obviously, them not playing defense has caught up with them. But that's what I mean. It's like, okay, so you were pretty dominant last year. You started out that way, and now you start to lose, and you just hang them up. Like that's a bad look. If I'm a scout or a GM, I'm not going to love that. Like that can cost you a number one pick.
Right. I agree. And it's weird though. So if he doesn't sit out, people are saying something. Then if he sat out, people would say something. So basically what they're saying is they're going to hate on him one way or another.
Well, they definitely are. Like I think it'd be way worse if he sat though.
What's like that? Most fans, right?
Yeah.
Like
no, most sure. fans, right?
Yeah. Okay. Good morning, Mom. Thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing that's funny. Slight NFL segue is I was seeing a bunch of stuff of people still saying bench Geno, and he threw for 369 and two touchdowns, no interceptions. It's like y'all ain't gonna be happy no matter what.
I want y'all to keep that same energy that you got right there for the next couple of topics that we're gonna be talking about in a little bit. Not now, but in a couple, because that's the same energy I want y'all to have because we need to have that in regards to the fans. But any thoughts about the whole Jimbo Fisher buyout? What kind of money these guys threw into this program?
So the first thing that shocked me was 6 years in, the buyout was still that much. So that's already crazy. And what,
$75 million, right?
After 6 years, though, usually like I mean, I guess I thought his contract was like $100 million to start or something like that.
I don't know how long it was to start with, but it's 8 years left in it.
That's
eight years left in the contract.
Was it a 12? What was it?
No, but to get no playoff appearances, you know, no great bowls. I mean, the best thing about his tenure was like what being like the first assistant to beat Saban. Like none of this makes any sense of what you paid for.
And once he got the extension, he was 9-13 in the SEC.
But he wasn't any better than Sumlin, who they fired for this. So I don't, you know.
And the staff hasn't been bought out yet. That's going to be about $150 million more that's left. I'm trying to figure out, what are they doing down there in Texas to warrant all this money? Am I missing something here?
And where do you sign up? Like that?
Yeah.
Like, where's that list at? Because, you know, I'll stand in line. It's cool. Yeah. Right? I'm ready. I brought my own. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You listen to a Texas A&M podcast. They wanted him to get one more year.
Good morning, Raj. First, let me give you love for your first point. Good morning, Raj. He's one half of the Herb and Raj podcast. Every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Sorry, it's a morning thing for me. 9 p.m. EST, 8 p.m. CST.
Good morning. There's a spot on the screen that you could fill up, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's like room here for you. I mean, I don't understand why you want to do this, but okay. We got to come back to that question, Raj. We'll come back to it, I promise. All right, so I don't know what's up with that, but $150 more million for the staff to
buy out. That's crazy. That's just crazy money.
Unbelievable. I mean, they're going to pay the new people that's going to come in, right? The new staff, the new coach, they're going to pay them too, right?
No, they're going to work for peanuts. We say, look, we're going to pay you a minimal salary. We'll fire you in 3 years, and then we'll get who we really want. Okay.
All right.
I mean, well, even still, what's that minimum salary? Like, what are we signing up for? It's a couple hundred K. I can, you know, still, hey, I'm going to lose some games.
I'll show up in a bathrobe on the sideline and be like, whatever, guys. Call your own plays. You got this.
I love it. All right, well, we're going to discuss OSU again.
I said, I'll water boy it. I'll do the football for
the sure you will, bro.
For the money we're talking about, yes, you got me.
Yeah. Let's jump into OSU and Michigan State. Only reason why I want to do that is because of Harrison's performance. No other reason to talk about the game. It was a straight blowout. Yep. They got the brakes beat off him, to put it mildly. But he had about 530 yards, I think it is. I think total, was it the team or was it him? But three touchdowns for Marvin Harrison. Yep. Did that help him in the Heisman talk? Because I hardly ever hear his name in the discussion. I'm hearing quarterbacks all the time. Never hearing his name. Is that game helping him in your minds to be high in a Heisman conversation, or has nothing changed for you guys?
I mean, nothing's really changed on my end.
Yeah. Well, I kind of cheated when I knew this was coming up. So he's actually third in the Heisman odds right now. So
third.
Third.
You sure wasn't third a few days ago.
Right.
Check this. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. He's rocking it up. Nix is kind of your leader. Nix and Penix, which I guess they must be related. I don't know how that works as far as the names go. And then you've got Harrison, Daniels, and somehow Beck fifth. So yeah, it's definitely rocking them up. I told you when you posted it originally, that was my answer. I said Penix, I thought was first at the time. I would love to see Harrison get in the conversation or sneak up in there. So
it looks as though, in their mind, and maybe in yours, Drake May is out of this discussion.
It seems like it. I think those two losses to really bad teams kind of just slipped him out there a little bit. So you haven't really heard of him since then. I think if they were on that collision course with Florida State in the ACC championship game, I think you would have heard him more. But, you know, we associate the team with the quarterback, you know, all the time. So if they lose games, whether it's their fault or not, we take them out. I said, besides like Lamar Jackson, I guess you can't lose two or three games.
Yeah, that's the thing that's funny, right? Is wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat until it is. Yes. You know,
exactly.
And it seems like it is a lot.
Yeah.
The hypocrisy is thick, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. Well, keep me honest on this next one because this is about Michigan. I want to spend a little time because we got some NFL news I want to get into before we get into our power rankings and breakdown and stuff. So they were blowing my Twitter up, attacking, personal comments, everything. I'm going to have to miss you, especially on Saturday and Friday night. But bottom line is that, no, we did what we were supposed to be doing. They got just like the other teams that are in the running that have schedules that were similar to ours. They weren't playing hard teams, so to speak. But we don't even hear about that kind of stuff. We only hear about that regarding us. Oh, we played Bowling Green. Okay. Ohio State got some daisies they played too. And Georgia as well. To be honest with you, in the SEC, they were one of those people. And it was like nobody mentioned an easy schedule, no comments, just for us. We're hearing all this stuff. So we went ahead and played Penn State, one of the high-ranked teams, right? Mm-hmm. And didn't throw a pass after the second quarter. Just beat them on the ground in the trenches. Everybody satisfied now? Or do we use science? We good now?
No,
can we move on?
No,
that's not.
Now? Yeah, you're not going to be good all season. No. They could have no coaches on the sideline and win, and people would still be like, oh, they cheated somehow.
The coach, yes, and speaking of that, the coaches on the sidelines are some of them are from the NFL.
Sure.
Think about what's happening. We got NFL-level coaches, not level, NFL coaches coaching on the sidelines. We got guys that are just talented. Mm-hmm. You know, doggone science.
You still got to go execute.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you know
what's Yeah. You know that. Herb knows that. I'm sure.
I honestly never really cared about this scandal until it kept going. First off, I didn't know that was a thing. You know, like going out and stealing signals was illegal because I figured everybody was already trying to do that. And like
they're
I figured
not trying, they are doing it.
Right.
Hold on. Isn't this the same sport where they used to have the signs with Elvis on the sign? Isn't this the same sport that we're talking about? We're talking about
basketball. That's what I mean. It's called everything changed. Like you used to sign people to other schools and stuff to see what they were doing. Like it's right. Scouting.
Right.
I don't know. It's a scandal that I don't care about. No, I mean,
at all.
You know, it's one thing if it's like baseball is different, right? Like if you know what the pitch is coming, that's one-on-one. Like that gives you some actual insight, right? Like that increases your odds.
Right.
If I'm standing across the line, if you're decent as a player, you can kind of figure out what's coming at you.
Right.
Just based on how your offensive line is sitting. Like if they're loading up their hand, they're coming at you. They're firing off the ball. It's probably a run. If it's, you know, if they're leaning back a little bit.
Right foot out, it's a run.
Yeah, right. Left like, I mean, like, there's so many things that you can watch as a player that you don't need signs. Like you can figure out if it's a run or a pass. You got 11 other dudes, you know, that has to help you stop. Right. So, I mean, I don't know. In baseball,
so let me ask the question then.
Get the uproar.
So let me ask the question then that I probably should have asked you guys weeks ago then. Since we already know that this is really not about wins and losses in football, what do you guys think this is really about then? Because obviously now, me personally, I have a bit of a conspiracy theory mindset in me coming from New York. It's kind of how I grew up. It's kind of part of me. But honestly, something's going on here. And it's not football. It's not doing the right thing for the NCAA. It's something else going on. What do you guys think? Rapid fire, you think is going on here? What's happening?
Everybody hates Harbaugh.
Okay.
So, I mean, a lot of it is just they don't like the guy. He rubs people the wrong way. He's just a grating personality in general. He just happens to win, which is why he keeps getting jobs. Because it doesn't matter where he goes, he gets W's. And, you know, people will deal with it for a while and then he just gets them to the point where they're like, you know what? Wins aren't worth it. Get out of our building. Piling on. And so at this point, it doesn't matter what you do from this point moving forward. Harbaugh starts the season suspended for some dumb stuff. And then there's this. I mean, there's just been so much noise around the program that, it's a witch hunt at this point.
Yeah. People also hate on winners. So it's like you've been, you've been Ohio State twice a year, you've been in the playoffs twice a year. You know, this is kind of like a high where Michigan's at right now. This is the time to go after them. So had they not made the playoffs the last 2 years of beating Ohio State, you wouldn't hear like any of this right now. Nobody would really care.
I'm just asking a question.
A lot of people I agree. I'm just because like as an Alabama fan, that's what we get after every win. So no matter how we win, people are coming after us. So
was Ohio State getting that when they were winning? I'm just asking. I'm just wondering here. I don't recall any of that stuff happening.
Winners do get a lot of hate.
I call was right on his lap at a club, but that was one of the main things that we heard about Urban Meyer. Other than that, I didn't hear a whole lot of stuff.
They didn't have a coach suspended like twice in the same year though. Too. So like Michigan is giving them a little ammunition right now too. So
fair enough. All right, let's go ahead and jump into some NFL news real quick. I don't know what you guys have. I wanted to check with you first, but we didn't get a chance to do that. But you guys heard about DJ Hayden. Our condolences go out to him and his family and all those that were in the auto accident. Mm-hmm. He was a 2013 first-round draft pick. I remember him because I was shocked that he was in the first round. That's how I remember him, sad to say. I guess he was in a car accident at a red light. Six people total were lost their lives. I think he played for the Raiders, the Lions, the Jaguars, and I think the Commanders for one game. He had about 8 seasons. His production dipped every year, but he had an issue in 2012 where he was in practice and ran to a teammate, tore a vein in his heart. So he had to have emergency surgery. So it was a lot going on with him, but it's strange to be in a world where we hear about first rounders all the time, almost ad nauseum, even when the draft's already over. We still hear about first round this, and we forgot him so quickly. I know I did, but I don't know about you guys. Did you hear about DJ Hayden? Any thoughts about him as a player or anything?
I just heard it in passing, so I didn't. I didn't look real far into it.
Yeah, which is a sad story. Okay, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. I hate to use the phrase "life comes at you fast," but it's just things change in an instant. You know, so no cliche. Yeah, you learn to cherish everything while you got it here. It's. I mean, it's just nuts. So it's one of those stories. It's popped up, and I was like, really? You know, like.
Yeah. I missed it. Honestly, I didn't get it on my phone, the notification or anything. Okay, well, Michael Thomas arrest. I got that on my phone.
Yeah,
and we'll talk about the Saints in a little while. We get into our NFL breakdown, but my goodness, what's going on in New Orleans? Man? I didn't even hear about Chris Olave. He got arrested. I think it was just a week ago.
Yeah,
a week or two ago. I'm like, what's going on out here?
There's a lot to do in New Orleans, man.
And apparently, yeah. Not.
I know. Just, you know, like, it's good stuff for us to be doing. Let's jump into our power ranking. Unless you guys have any other NFL news you want to share? Anything else?
No.
Nothing of note. It's just ball, huh?
Okay. It's just ball.
Just ball.
Ball it is, baby. Good morning, Back It Up Binge Podcast.
Hey.
Good morning, brothers. Thanks for joining us, man. All right. Power rankings. Who's taking it? Who's going first? Mine's a hot mess this week. It's hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fine. I have Philly at one. I have KC at two. Full disclosure, I started to put Detroit at three and Baltimore at four, and then I forgot that Baltimore beat them down. So I went ahead and reversed those even after the loss yesterday for them. Then I got San Fran, Dallas, Miami, Jacksonville, Seattle, and I didn't have anybody in the 10 spot, so I'm going to give it to Cleveland after their win yesterday.
Yeah. All right. So I got the Eagles at one. I got the Ravens at two, Lions at three, KC at four. I have the Niners at five, just because as soon as they started getting pieces back, lo and behold, here we are, right? They're playing good football again. Then I have the Dolphins at six, Bengals at seven, Jags at, how did I miss something? Oh, sorry. I just glanced across the Cowboys, I guess.
I was going to say, I was like, wow, they just.
So I got the Cowboys at seven, my bad. Bengals at eight, Jags at nine, and my Seahawks at the number 10 spot.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Hopefully mine doesn't start any controversy. I'm not trying to. I was just trying to just figure this thing out. I labored over these rankings, man.
Yeah.
And they're probably not good. Not as good as you guys, but I couldn't figure some stuff out.
I forgot my power ranking, so I did mine 2 minutes ago. So yours can't be.
And yours probably will still be better than mine. But
I mean, was at one. It was a lot of close fights this week.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, no, it's not just that, man. It's just where the teams are, one in their division.
Right.
The level of play, who they're beating or not beating. It was hard for me. You got three of the teams on bye that I don't want to punish them because it was on bye. So I got to. Right.
Getting fired on anyway. Your day off.
Yeah.
Yes, here's what we got for Mr. Hughes rankers. Number one, they got the Eagles. I got the Chiefs at two. I couldn't penalize them for being on break. I got the Ravens at three. I dropped them a little bit. Well, I kept them there because even after the loss, I couldn't move the Lions up. So I got the Lions at four. I actually changed it. I got the Niners at five. I felt kind of funny about that for a little bit. Got the Dolphins at six. I got the Jags at seven. Even after the loss, I still feel like they deserve to be in that spot. I got the Cowboys at eight. I moved them up from where I had them, but honestly, they really – I know they're the Cowboys. We're supposed to praise them and worship them. I get that. But they really dangling in my top ten right now. They're going to get dropped out, even with wins, because, like, then
– Who are they beating?
Yeah.
You
know –
Like, I'm not trying to hate on your team, but like,
Dallas is a front running team. If they get a bad team down, then they double up that score and it looks great.
Yeah, it's not personal. Sincerely, it's not. Yeah. They're hanging on. Next week, they might not even be in my top 10.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I put the Browns at nine. Okay. They've been in and out of my top 10. And you know what? They just deserve to be here. I put the Bengals at 10. They dropped from where I had them last week. I think I had them at 8 last week. I think so. We dropped them because of that loss, which was like one of the best games of the week.
I enjoyed that game.
All right. Speaking of that, let's go ahead and jump into our week 10 breakdown, man. I know we got a, what? I guess our role is 2 games apiece. We'll see what happens with that. But where you guys want to start off, man? Go ahead and jump right on in.
Well, okay.
No, go ahead, bud. My bad. We both paused, and then we're like, okay, I don't know what he's doing.
All right, nobody was jumping in, so I was like, all right. Go ahead, Herb.
Well, my first one was Cleveland and Baltimore. What was slated to be a low-scoring game ended up being 33-31. It's crazy to me because you glance at the stats and none of the stats really say 33-31. You know,
exactly.
You've got Watson throwing for 213 yards, Lamar Jackson throwing for 233. Each guy threw for 1 touchdown. Each threw a pick 6. You know, it's just I'm looking at this. Ford for Cleveland had 107 rushing yards. The next 2 rushers was what, 41 yards and 34 yards. And this is one of the craziest stats I think I've seen. Mitchell for Baltimore had a long of 39 when he ran for that touchdown. He finished the game with 34 yards rushing. So it's like, I'm trying to, if you're just glancing at it, trying to figure out where all the scores came from. And then how do you characterize this game? Is this a great win for Cleveland or did Baltimore give another one away? You know, like they tended to do last year. So, because they had control of this game. And then, you know, they throw the pick 6 and they get nowhere else on offense and Cleveland drives down for a score. At Cleveland, you got to think, if they ever get the quarterback play solidified, the defense is top 5. You know, they're going to keep them in games. Now, obviously, this score doesn't really bear that out, but they're going to keep them in games. You know, sometimes they just need a little bit from Watson back there.
So. Yeah. I want to ask you about Watson, but I mean, the 2 things that I saw is 1, who won the first down matchup there? 24-17 in favor of the Browns. The 3rd down efficiency. I think that's a big deal because they had about, I think about 50%, 8 of 16, Cleveland. Ravens had 2 for 8. It says a lot on 3rd down. That's a big deal. We talk about it in every other game. Yep. I think those things were a difference there. But what do you do with Watson if you're the Browns? I know he made a little semi-comeback, so nobody's going to want to talk about this, but I mean, something's not right.
Yeah.
Even before his injury.
Years off.
Yeah.
I know, man, but
well, it feels like. How many things have you gotten better at that you just didn't do for 2 years?
I don't know what he was doing for 2 years. Do you?
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's not game speed, right? It's not deciphering a defense. Like it's so. No, like,
the issue is not game speed and whether he's catching up. It's making the kind of throw that he'd been making since he was a little kid.
And yeah, doing it nonstop. Then he took a couple years off. Like, there's nothing I've done where I took a couple years off and I just step back in and be like, bam, here we go. Like,
you could throw a 3-yard stick route and you wouldn't even a quarterback.
I could definitely do that, yes.
I know you can.
That's true.
Why can't he do that? Why can't he do that?
Yeah. He just looks bad at times, you know, and I get the point about 2 years, but it's you hate to throw this, but I mean, what is it, a $230 million guaranteed contract? Like, I don't care how many years you took off. Like, now, obviously, that's the organization that was dumb to give it to him. So him and Jimbo must have the same agent for sure. But,
the Browns. Like, as soon as you saw that happen, you're like, oh, yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that contract was so bad that all the other owners have revolted against him and said, we're never doing that ever again. Well, that's how.
So the thing that's funny about that is when you look at what the guaranteed contracts have been, right? So you look at what Kirk Cousins got 2 of them, right? And then Deshaun gets 1. And all of that together through all the years that Cousins was in. And then, of course, Deshaun, it's equaled 1 playoff win through all those years of guarantee. So if I was an owner, I'd be like, what is the upside to a fully guaranteed contract? Exactly. You have, you know, over the last two of Cousins, that's roughly 8 years of contract, right? And then you have Deshaun. I mean, year before last, the guaranteed contracts didn't even make it to the playoffs. Like, why are we even doing this? So I feel like owners, like if they would have came in, balled out, and like made some strides in the playoffs, I think there would be a softer approach to this. Well, maybe guaranteed contracts aren't that bad, but to have these guaranteed contracts and these guys either aren't making the playoffs or one and dones. Yeah. I mean, if I was an owner, I'd be like, what's the point of doing that?
Right.
Yeah, it's bad. It doesn't look good to me. It doesn't look good. It's like you want to try to get some kind of security. I mean, if I was ownership, I would something. I mean, this is not good. Kind of reminded me of the Jimbo Fisher discussion again. It's like, wow, you got stuck with $75 million after how many years? I'm like, plan better. Do better next time.
And then sometimes winning a game like this actually hurts because now they're like, oh, see, this is why. Like, no, this is one game in the middle. I don't expect playoff success for this team. And what, like, so look at his numbers. He still wasn't good. You know, they made some scrambles.
He needs to be thinking about something else.
Yeah.
There needs to be another plan right here. Yeah. This is not this. I know I heard what Bo said about the timing and the 2 years. I respect that. I get it. I still ain't down with it.
Yeah.
Something else got to happen. This is not the answer.
Yeah, but would you have that much guaranteed money? What is the other choices?
Ain't nobody taking that on.
No.
Like, nobody's like trading for mid at no, high
you,
price.
You're going to eat it. You guaranteed it. You're going to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't move on. I mean, the cap dictates that.
Yep.
Because
let him hold a clipboard. Then.
No, because the first year of his contract was only $1 million. So it was all backloaded anyway. Yeah. So, I mean, they're stuck. Like they basically have to
draw the sideline and hope. Going forever.
Yeah. Those couples that can't afford to get divorced, so they just live in the same house together and go to different rooms. That's what they are.
They hate each other a lot.
Yes.
Like they're side-eyeing each other as they walk down the hall. They're just like,
yep. This is the yell things like, you ruined my life to each other.
Like, you're not even saying hi. You're just like, bruh.
Yeah. That is them right now. They're done.
Essie Deshaun is gone, I think. I think he's gone.
Yeah, he's just not this is not the same.
I don't think he's ever coming back. I think he's gone. All right, let's move on. All right. Oh, wow. Have fun with this one. I'm talking to Texans again for 2 weeks in a row. Wow. Never thought I'd ever say that in my mouth. But this game again had me out of my chair. Cheering and hollering. Man, Stroud got a real defensive test this time. Mm-hmm. Which sort is I'm surprised because normally I can't say that about the Bengals. Their secondary's been hurting. They lost Bates and Bell and they've been unable to recover from that. But their pass rush was on point. D'Amico's defense had Burrow on the ropes all day long. Mm-hmm. Kept him under 200 yards for three quarters, three sacks. I mean, they were on him. They kept the rushing yard down to, I think, 51 total going into the fourth quarter. So the defense was putting on a show yesterday on both sides. Stroud looked just like a rookie. Made one mistake, and that was that second interception of the year for him. Put Cincinnati on the second on second and goal, and he scored 27-23 with about 3 minutes left. And this is the kind of point where most rookies will probably cave. And he did it again twice in a row where he had to kind of come back from behind. And it said a lot about him because I'm like, okay, wow. I didn't even see that at Ohio State that much. The whole comeback from behind, I didn't see that much then. They usually had leads and they kind of just padded them. Right. You know what I'm saying? But he came back from behind. I love this part here about how almost all the fans left the stadium and right after the interception, and then they came back when they heard about the – I'm like, wow. Fair weather intro. All right. But DJ Turner, go blue, made an incredible play, changed the whole game. Stroud picked them off. And after that, it was 25 seconds, no timeouts. Hurry up offense, 25 yards to your boy. Said his name again last week, Dalton Schultz, my former famous fantasy guy. Saved my bacon a whole bunch of weeks. So thank you, Mr. Schultz. And a 38-yard field goal from a guy who never kicked one in the NFL. What do you say about this? This is just incredible.
Yeah.
I was this is great.
Five. I went out and bought a Texan shirt.
You did?
Yes.
I wore it for you. For me, I ain't gonna do that part, but I'm here for it, man. Yeah. This is that team that, you know what? I'm not gonna wear their colors, but I'm most definitely rooting for them to win.
Yes.
As much as possible. This is great. Yeah. We got guys that never kicked field or two in a row. Never did a field goal in his life. Ogun Bunwali, never had a field goal in his life. Amendola, never had a field goal in his life. Kicked two of them to basically steal two games, two wins for them. You can't write this stuff, but it's incredible. Any thoughts on that before we move on? If not, you're up next.
They've been fun to watch.
Yeah.
I thought they would be a decent team this year. I just didn't. And I figured they would upset a couple people, but this was a good win for them. This was a good win for them. What it really showed is you can definitely run on this Bengals team. Cause Singletary hung 150 on them.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's a good running day.
So, and our preseason prediction is looking good. It's looking good. I didn't think it would happen. People laughed at me. I said they're going to win 8 games.
Yes.
Well, you're talking about a chance not winning the division. So, I mean, they're right there for it. So, one more game with Jacksonville, too, and they've already beat them once. So, I mean, it's great. You know, I'm a D'Amico Ryans fan, of course, and they traded for Will Anderson. I want that trade to be justified. So, I've been rooting for them the entire time. So,
yeah. All right, but what you got, man?
I mean, we got to talk about Josh Dobbs, man. This Vikings team doesn't look like they're down and out with him coming in. You're seeing something that you weren't seeing out of Dobbs with Arizona. You know, he had decent throws there, but wasn't great. But you know, some of that is just roster, right? It's not a great roster there. Whereas this Vikings team does have a lot more talent than that Arizona team. But you know, he had an efficient day, 268 yards, touchdown. You know, and against a Saints team that, yes, Carr goes down, so that plays a factor. Jameis Winston did Winston things where, you know, he threw to the other team a couple of times. So, you know that the Vikings were happy with their decision not to try and go after Winston.
That was a plan?
There was talk about it. There was talk about them potentially doing that. And I was like, for a team that fumbles as much as they do, they don't need to go get somebody to also throws the ball to the other team.
Yeah. Not a great idea.
You can't give up the ball five times a game. You know, that's not the answer. But it looks like Dobbs is a good fit there. So, I mean, I like what I'm seeing. I still don't think they're a playoff team really, but or if they are, they're one and done. But I think they missed the playoffs even with Dobbs. But he adds some fire back to this team that looked like as soon as Cousins went down was
it'll be gone. Yeah.
Really deflated. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
by the time Jefferson comes back, who knows what it looked like then.
Yep.
And truth, I went over to see my folks. My uncle and my aunt were still in town. So I went over to see them on Sunday. And this is actually the game that we had on at the end. And to the Winston point, he throws a touchdown pass, but it was a terrible, you know, across the field to the back of the end zone where the DB just couldn't get there in time and they still had to wrestle for it. And that was a touchdown pass. And then he throws two interceptions where it's like, you need to go down and score a touchdown. You need to score a 2-point conversion, but you had plenty of time in both cases. And both throws were, I think the first one's like in the triple coverage where the receiver didn't have a chance at it. I'm thinking, just drive the ball. Like, we're good here, you know? Because I want to say it was 5 or 6 minutes still left. So I don't know.
Inexplicable. The thing that's funny with Winston is if you're his coach, right, you bring the tablet up and you're like, okay, you made a good play. You see this right here? Yeah, that was a touchdown. Never do this again.
Yeah. And I said that to my uncle. He's like, oh, look at that touchdown. I said, that was a terrible throw. He got away with one, you know, just to get that. So, no.
That's something I saw into. I mean, that was a game I definitely had my eye on. I was watching that one.
Yeah. We just ended up with that as our second. So it was interesting to watch. So plus my uncle's really kind of old school. So he watches every black quarterback that comes out there. He's like, you know, oh yeah, Dobbs looking good. Oh yeah, Winston looking good. I said, no, Winston's not looking good.
Winston's not looking good.
No, sir. I'm a yes, there's no way in the world you think Winston. I mean, to be fair though, the team did look different when he was back there.
Yeah.
I want to get into that a little bit. That's more of a Saints thing, I think, than a Winston thing. But it looked much different when he was back there because first or second throw, threw for a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's like the offense seemed to be moving different than when Carr. So, I mean, I think it's time to discuss this whole Derek Carr experiment. I mean, Minnesota 24-3 at the half. Dobbs had 220 yards. Carr had 51 yards. I think the offense seems to be – it can't still be learning – the offense in week 10. So something else is going on. They look lifeless. I mean, disinterested. It's talking about Olave and Carr not liking each other. I mean, like, what are we talking about here? I heard about a Super Bowl team that guys, they hated each other and they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I mean, everybody loves a backup quarterback, though, because nobody planned for him. So they can come in and do work. I mean, you saw Colt McCoy do it for every team he's ever played for. He'd come in and relief and ball out. But as soon as he had to start, he'd collect L's like nothing else. Like, everybody loves a backup for the week that they pop in because nobody prepped for him.
Right.
How does that relate to Derek Carr? That's what we're talking about right now.
Well, that's why it looks different. It's because everybody prepped for Derek Carr. So Winston should have some success because you weren't planning for a guy that plays the position very differently. Don't get me wrong. They are underperforming with Carr. Like, I'm not saying that Carr is balling out there. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying.
I'm not saying that at all. Nobody can say that.
Yeah. I feel like Carr just misses being with the Raiders sometimes, and he's just, like, unhappy that whole situation fell apart.
What are you missing exactly?
He seemed like he had a lot more success and fun with the Raiders than he did that he's having in New Orleans for sure.
He spent the same amount of time on the ground that he did in Las Vegas. It's the same thing. What's the difference?
Yeah, but I don't think he wanted to leave Las Vegas the way he did.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Plus, I mean, his yardage totals and stuff looked good there. They just had an atrocious defense, so they lost a lot of games. But I mean, it wasn't really on Carr as much hate as Carr got there. I mean, he's not an elite talent by any means, but like he's an above average quarterback.
Yeah.
I would take him over Dak.
I'm lost. We went on a detour, and I don't even know what happened. can you guys find me? what happened? This whole Derek Carr thing is weird, but you guys don't see that.
No,
it's not about him whether he's a good quarterback or not. That's not the point of this.
What is the point?
I mean, honestly, it seems like slumped shoulders, body language. It looks different when he's there, and it's like the backup part shouldn't be a part of this because they prepare. First team, you know, they spend the most time together, obviously, because they're first team. So they should be accustomed to each other. They should be used to each other. They should be theoretically having each other's backs. But you got guys that are, like, disinterested, you know, cutting routes off short, like Olave does a lot of times. I mean, it's just a whole bunch of – not including the coaching stuff. There's some bad stuff going on with that, too. Bad decision-making by Allen using Olave where Graham should be used. I mean, it's just little things going on. It's like, what's going on?
Olave does look like he doesn't necessarily give 100% effort every time. Like he does kind of cruise through routes if he doesn't think he's going to get the ball, which is weird.
That didn't happen when Winston was in. Look, we saw the touchdown that he scored with Winston. I didn't see that then.
Well, but I mean, to your point, if him and Carr don't get along, right, for whatever reason, he may just be like, I don't care about this. I'm probably not getting the ball, whatever. And with Winston, you got to remember, Winston was their guy last year, right? Like, he was the starter for part of the season. So it's not like these are going to be – they've never played together or anything. I mean, there's some chemistry there. Like, they played together last year. He was the starter for half the season.
And for Carr, you're going from, you know, and I know Olave's a talent, but you're going from having Davante Adams to having Olave, and you're trying to build what you already had with Devontae. All of a sudden with Olave, I could see him pushing him the wrong way or saying the wrong, you know, some of these guys don't respond to the same stuff. So, like, when I tell you that I think he misses the Raiders, I don't think he misses, you know, so I know they weren't winning anymore, but he wanted to stay with that team, and he didn't want it to end the way it did. And now all of a sudden you go into a new situation, and whatever leadership you were trying to show at the other one doesn't necessarily work with the new organization. And so if you see a disconnect, I think those are the things. So that was my point about it. Like, I just think that he's not bringing the same energy he had with the Raiders. It's not always about wins and losses. Sometimes you actually just like the situation you're in. And now he probably looks at the Raiders and the defense has gotten, you know, noticeably better. And he's thinking, man, if you gave me those weapons with that defense, we would be better. Instead, I'm over here with, you know, fussing with my number one wide receiver. So it's just a whole total different thing.
It's definitely weird, man. I mean, this is probably the worst 5-4 team I think I could think of. And
yeah,
they seem somehow they're skating by. I'm like, I don't.
Well, the problem is their division is so terrible. So,
division is terrible.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it doesn't matter where you are in your career, whether you were drafted or you're later in your career, like Carr is, you know, fit matters, right? Yeah. And sometimes just chemistry isn't there. You know, because on paper, they should be way better than they are, right? They still have talent. They have a good defense. Their division is terrible. Like, they should be crushing this division. And instead, they are where they are. And, I mean,
that's what was going to happen.
But can't be fair.
Yeah.
It's very, very weird, man. Firing Allen is like, you're going to solve everything? Just seems like there's so much stuff going on there, but I don't want to belabor the point too much, man. But, yeah, let's go on to our next game. What you got, Herb?
So honestly, I didn't get to check out a lot of these games. So I'm going to go with one where the score just kind of surprised me. I think Raj and I even had Jacksonville's possible upset, you know, San Francisco coming off three losses in a row. And all this game was just, it seemed like it was over so fast. And I don't know if it's, you know, Deebo Samuel did come back, but his stat line is not overwhelming. You know, 30 yards receiving on four catches, 20 yards rushing with a touchdown. But, I mean, is it just inserting him back in there? Are they just a bad matchup for Jacksonville? And you got to wonder about Trevor Lawrence, who was like a dark horse, like, oh, could this guy, you know, lead them in here, dark horse MVP to start the year? And it's just been, you know, very underwhelming, to say the least. You know, 70 for 29 this game, 185 yards, two interceptions. You know, in the season, he has 9 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Like, if you had told me that was going to be the stat line, like, I would have told you were crazy. Or you were just talking about preseason numbers or playing in a video. You know, it just Jacksonville is kind of skating by because the division has been bad. But now all of a sudden, like we talked about, you turn around and Houston's sitting right there, you know. Yeah. So did they expect more and we're just not getting it? Like the Ridley signing, you know, it seemed like it worked for one game. And then it's kind of he's fallen off the map. You know, Kirk has still been decent in games, but they're just not. You know, I don't know. I can't even say they were playing down to competition anymore because this is the Niners coming to town, you know, and it's a home game. So I have no idea what's going on with Jacksonville. But and also because of that, I don't know if that means San Francisco's back or they just, you know, it was a weird game and a weird score for me to look at.
Yeah, I mean.
I recall.
Oh, go ahead. Good.
Yeah. I recall Ridley, he was in Atlanta in similar spots like this. We have some really great games with Matt Ryan, and all of a sudden it kind of be like a drop off. So I was kind of hesitant about that to start with, but here we go. Chances already playing out. But I think that what's going on is more on the Niners side. I mean, Eric Armstead was all over force yesterday. Deebo was back, got a 23-yard score. They actually threw the ball to Kittle more than one. I think he had 116 yards by himself. They actually throwing him the ball, which is a mismatch in most scenarios. And Nick Bosa was all over Trevor Lawrence all day long. I mean, I think that's your answer, man. That's they had a lot of the pieces that they were missing. They just dominated, man. I mean, they got one of the top run defenses anyway. And they were just dominating them, man. And it forced Trevor Lawrence to have to throw more than he may want to, I guess. And they just ran all over him, man. Simple as that, 34-3. It's not a lie, man. The numbers don't lie in this case, man. But go ahead, bro.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, even though they didn't necessarily throw the ball a ton to Deebo, you have to account for him, right? And the Jags, like the Bengals, don't exactly have an elite defense, right? Like, it's an okay defense. And so you bring in a team that has Deebo and Ayuk and CMC and Kittle. I mean, they have so many weapons. So then you bring in you know, their new signing of Chase Young, well, that frees up Bosa. So now Bosa can be an impact player, whereas last week because Williams has been out, everybody could just double team him trying to come through and create some time for their, you know, their quarterbacks. And this time around, well, now Bosa, like, you can't double team everybody, right? So either Chase Young's going to find a way back there, or you're going to have Bosa back there. So the defense getting healthy, you know, the offense getting healthy, that's why I picked them to win this game. I didn't think it was going to be quite the beatdown that it was, but yeah, I mean, I had the Niners winning this just because I don't trust the Jags defense, and with everybody getting healthy off a bye, yeah, I'd take the Niners every time.
Works for me. All right, what's the next game on the books?
So even though my Hawks won, this one was a stressful game, to say the least.
Yeah.
And the thing is the stats look very different than the scoreboard. So when you look at the stats, the score should have been very different, right? Like there was a 489 total yards, right, of offense for the Hawks. So, and then you look at 369 passing, 120 rushing. Like, when you look at that, you should have dominated this game. And somehow, this comes to a last-second field goal. Seattle still can't get third-down conversions. They were 4 of 14. You know, protection was decent. There was only one sack. But it worries me. So, going into this game, after getting absolutely beat down by the Ravens, this needed to be that get right game. And does it go in the win column? Sure. But the way they won makes you worried about when they come and they play the Niners twice, the Cowboys, the Eagles, right? They play a gauntlet of teams after next week with the Rams. And you start to look at it as, can they hold up against those top flight teams when you're sneaking by a Washington? Now, Washington has played good football, so I can't hate on them too much, despite the fact that they got rid of their like key pieces of their defense. Somehow their defense actually seems like it's playing better with those pieces gone over the last 2 weeks. But it makes you worried about what the Seahawks can do defensively and offensively. Like, I got no answers out of this game, despite the win.
Yeah. It's weird. I'm looking at this, and B-Rob was the leading receiver for Washington, too. And it's weird. Like, I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, where does the 300 yards come from passing, then, if that's what's going on? That's just.
Right?
You know? I mean, okay.
Well,
that's a lot of dump offs.
We had the same fair. We had the same game, so I didn't intend to even discuss the Giants and Cowboys. That was not my plan for today. I do have a couple of questions for you guys on two other games. Not a breakdown, but just a couple of questions there, but about Tampa Bay and the Packers, but we'll come back to it. But Giants again on the wrong side of history. The numbers are astounding that I saw. I mean, They were outgained 368-27 in the first half alone, which is like historic. And it is more bad history than I think in the whole 97-year history of the Giants. They never allowed that many yards to anybody. So this is like pretty bad. Barkley and Daboll are sniping on the sidelines. I don't know what's going on. You got guys going out hurt again. Flott had a nice interception. In the first half, they were down only by 7. Made you think some stuff was going to happen. Didn't score clearly, and they got shut out. Thibodeau went out with a concussion. Just a host of it doesn't happen in the sports app, but Andrew Thomas went out as well because he forgot to mention that part. So our starting left tackle, the only bright spot for the most part on that line, went out with an injury, and it's like. Like I was asking last week, are we tanking and just not saying that, or are we still trying to win here? What's going to happen in Washington next week? Are we going to go ahead and beat them again like we did before? Is that what we really want to do, or do we want to go ahead and lay it on down and let them walk all over us? Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to tell who these guys are, man, but right now it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
And I can't add anything to this. It's just about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
That franchise can disappear in a puff of smoke. I wouldn't even care. It's not about that. It's just bad, man.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I mean, based on what we've seen, I don't know that you beat Washington next week.
You're saying that because of yesterday?
No,
I'm saying that because what we've seen out of the Giants all year.
Yeah. And let me go.
Okay.
No, go ahead, but I'm sorry. No, that's my fault.
I was just going to say, like, I haven't seen a brand of football that beats anybody moving forward.
Mm-hmm. But it's even little stuff. Like, you know, early on in that game, it's 7-0. They get the interception from Dak. They get down to the goal line. And, like, your fourth down play was just, you know, basically a handoff to Barkley. And it just seemed like that play was doomed. And I think he barely got back to the line of scrimmage, maybe, if that. And it's just, you know, you go to the cut of the quarterback's dad in the stands going, you know, what was that play call? And it's like, Daboll was to blame everybody else when all this other stuff where they do stuff. But, like, where's the accountability for things like that? Because that was just – and I'm not saying they would have won, but there's a huge difference with getting an interception and being tied at 7-7 versus getting stuff there. And then they go down and score instead, and it's 14-0. And it just seemed like it snowballs in a chance like that. I feel like that was at least a chance to get a little momentum, and that's what they came up with, you know? So I don't know.
I mean, when you throw the ball 27 times, you only get 86 yards.
Yeah,
like that is not a recipe for success.
I mean, bro, that's Tommy DeVito. I mean, it's worse than being 2 years. Like, he's longer than that.
Oh, like, no,
playing in NFL games. Like, it's not. I don't expect a whole lot from that, but I just wanted some heart from the whole team.
Right.
I mean, come on. It's that's what's missing. And, like, that's the part that scares me, because if you don't have that, it's kind of hard to get that back. We ain't gonna even get you that.
Yeah.
No. Adversity is what gets you that. It's like these guys don't seem to have any hearts. Like, oh, their hearts not in it. They just now they won't answer questions. They just despondent. It's like now the coaches are sniping with the players and back and forth. It's like, wow.
No, it's one of the things.
What happened? So I don't know. Say again.
Oh, it's one of the things I've liked so much about Arizona is, despite the fact that they've been getting the brakes beat off them week in and week out, I mean, they're competitive. They have a ton of heart. They're trying to win. The Giants, you know, they kind of look like they've given up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no heart. There's no excitement on that sideline. Like, you see dudes just sitting down. Like, it's when you watch the team, it doesn't look like they're even trying to be competitive anymore.
Right.
Which is why I think even against a Washington, I mean, you know, they're still battling, right? Like, yeah, they're still out there trying to win. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it is about your team, man, but they don't look like they want to play anymore this year.
Yeah. I think it has to be a reflection on Dable, you know, and I feel like most of the shots you see are him going after his players, and his body language always looks terrible. And if I'm sitting over there thinking something goes wrong here, I mean, and I'm not even going to say he right or wrong on what he's done, but whenever something goes wrong, there's a huge public thing about him going after the player that messed it up. And so it seems like if I'm a player and I'm thinking something goes wrong and it's all on my shoulders, like, what's the point here? Coach has not got my back at all is what it, you know, from an outside view is what it looks like. The coach is totally like, yeah, these guys suck. It's all their fault, you know? Yeah. So
that's my view as well. I'm not – the coaches cannot avoid this. A lot of this is not just quarterback when DJ was in there and O-line play. There were some things about DJ, I said it on record, times where he had a nice pocket,
right,
full jump out of it to go do something, and it didn't work out well for us. You had a pocket. We complain about the O-line. You had a pocket, and you leave it.
Yeah.
We talked about that kind of stuff. That's neither here nor there. But the coaching part, we're not – that's inescapable.
Yeah.
Something's wrong there. And people say, I'll give Daboll a chance. I'm like, I don't want to. I don't want to give him any more chances. Because and those are chats I saw from Buffalo. I wish I saw that beforehand. So I would say, please don't do this. Because he had a reputation that I didn't know about for stuff like this. It's like, wow, you saw that? You scouted him out? You did your reconnaissance work and you saw that? And you still said, you know what? He's a good fit for us. We can do what Buffalo did. Really? So I don't want that. I don't want any of that. I'm ready to. I want you to F word because you guys make fun of me again for a whole 30 minutes. So I won't say that word. I'll just say I want people to be gone. Okay.
it's fine. He'll be fired. It's cool.
Yes. You can say fine.
You say not me.
When your coach is leading like this, like it deserves to be, you know, fired.
See. And yeah. See how I didn't attack you when you said it, Bo? So that just for future reference. See how you said it? I didn't attack you.
I wasn't attacking you. Just because you're sensitive about it doesn't mean I'm attacking you.
I don't play for the Giants.
I mean,
pay me. I'm not a spot. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wait. Oh, somebody's called. Hey, yeah. No, I'm good. No, I'm fine. Nothing's going. Yeah. Oh, okay.
This is the wrong way to describe me, man. No, that's not me.
You're not wrong.
I'm saying impartial.
Based on what we've seen, yeah, he should be off down the road after this season.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I want that, but I kind of feel like it's not going to happen. But that's what I want. I think it's time for a clean slate.
So who would you bring in? Who would you? I mean,
I hear talking about most people.
I have no idea.
Jimbo.
You must have lost your mind, man. How about this?
Mississippi State just fired their coach this morning.
Who?
Mississippi State.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just came across.
Yeah. Check this out. Let's do that next week, all right?
Okay.
you getting Harbaugh?
You're a sick man, Bo. All right, so quick questions before we go into our comments. We don't have a lot of those, so we got time to play around a little bit. Okay. Do you think that Love proved himself yesterday? Jordan Love. And two, do you think Tampa Bay has worked themselves out of a potential playoff spot? What do you think?
You said Tampa Bay. They won yesterday, Tampa Bay.
I know they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, because I think that Tampa Bay, the second one first, I think Tampa Bay will hang around just because their division's terrible. And, you know, what is it, New Orleans? Is New Orleans leading or is Atlanta leading? I don't think anybody's going to run away with it. So
New Orleans
is still leading. They're 5-5. Yeah.
5-5.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's going to be one of those, you know, you might get an 8-8 team in, or what is it, 9-8 now, I guess, with the extra game. But no, I think Tampa Bay is going to hang around for a while.
Yeah. They don't look great.
No.
No.
It's just the problem when they are. Did it go to make it?
No.
Before they were like, I forgot what it was. But when I was talking about Bacon, and they were right before they buy. They were like, you know, they went out really good before their bye. I'm like, something happened. It's like, what happened? Mike Evans is dropping passes everywhere. I'm like, you're the main guy. Hey, they're expecting you. Yeah. If nobody else, when you're beating people down the field, which is surprising at your age and with your injuries history recently, you're beating folks down the field and you're wide open and you're dropping passes.
Yeah. And in a contract year too, right? So
I think so.
Okay.
You guys can get the playoffs, huh? You still see a playoff one?
I didn't have a playoff for him to begin with.
I see the path to it. Do I think they'll do it? No. But I'm just saying, because that division, they're going to be in it, you know, until the end, it feels like. But
yeah, I mean, you have to win the division to get to the playoffs in that division.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's no wild card team coming from there. So
no.
It's you either you're winning, you're in, or you're watching on TV. Like,
which is a whole other thing, because nobody in that division deserves to host a playoff game. But that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, that's honestly, this is a division that could have a losing record on playoff game.
Yeah.
You know, it's happened a couple of times through the course of the NFL. So I mean, this feels like a division that would do exactly that.
Yeah. I agree.
Sad. All right, how about Jordan Love? Did he work himself back into the good graces from yesterday? Did he do enough?
Yet, did he prove himself? To see some consistency. Are you saying that because of the yardage? Because it still looks like.
I mean, still an L, right?
And 21 for 40 and two touchdowns, two interceptions. It's not.
You're looking at raw numbers, yeah. But I mean, do you see anything else? I mean, like.
No, because I didn't get that game. Like, if I'm looking at that and I'm looking at one, you know, he lost the game. He completed just barely over half his passes. Like, yeah, I'm not seeing anything to work it back into my good graces.
Sound like you guys got him on the outs. All right, no worries.
I just don't think he's been consistent. I don't think he's been consistent throughout the whole year. So I'm gonna need, like, I need those numbers in a win or something to at least consider better for him. So,
yeah, I mean, I've never been high on Love. Is the thing, like, it, I'm not I'm not.
That sounds lower like a country than, song. You know, but yeah, right.
I'm not lower than I was. Right, I'm not lower than I was. Like,
right.
It's okay. You know, like he's okay. Like he could be.
Well, I know you don't like him. I mean, this only on record that you don't like Jordan Love. I know that. Yeah.
No. Like he could be a serviceable guy, right? But he's not. He's not that guy, right? Like he's not the. Okay. He's not the answer.
Fair enough. All right. Let's jump into our single poll question for today while we have a little time left. All right. Top three quarterbacks going into the 2024 draft. Top three quarterbacks. We're talking about that are drafted, Raj. Is Raj even available to answer this?
Yeah, he's saying like if you have a draft board, who would your top three be?
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure that if the Bears, that's a tough one because I don't know what they're doing with Justin. It seemed like they're giving us mixed messages. They act like they're not really totally sold on him, but they kind of are. So if they do what I think they're going to do and they move on from there, it'd be Caleb. And then I'll go Penix. I like Nix more than May in this case, but I don't know who's picking. You guys have the draft list in front of you. Do you know who's?
Going with draft order. Not
yeah, he's not going team wise. He's just saying when you have a draft board and who are your top three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Going with the team. Because, you know, they make your draft board. Team. They say, here's the top three quarterbacks and then let the team sort it out.
It's on my draft board.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ranking the three, which I still like your picks. I like Caleb and I like Penix. Obviously, because Nick started Auburn, we're always a little more biased towards him. I think he's cured some of the happy feet and also showed that, you know, a lot of that was Auburn's fault. So, and I don't think Drake May has worked himself out of that conversation. But Daniels, as good as he is, I think for as slight as he is, I don't think he makes the top three, though. So,
yeah. If you asked me last week, Nick's wouldn't be my third because I didn't see that then. I thought May was going to be in the second spot. Yeah. But now I'm going with Williams, Penix, and Nix. How about you guys?
Actually, I have that exact same order. Yeah.
I'll go with Williams and Penix and an unnamed person at third because I just, you know, our bias.
Unnamed?
it would be Bo Nix at this point, but I have trouble believing that. So he started at Auburn, man.
Third person, Herb.
Yeah.
Who is it?
We have.
I like mystery, but not that kind.
Say what?
Say it. Say his name. Say his name.
Fine. I'll go with May then at third. How about that? Just to slice Bo Nix. Just to slice him.
It's messed up, man.
Oh, wow. Do you remember early on when you said, "Hey Herb, you're better than this," and I said, "No, I'm not." No, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I said that the first time on your show, and you're just living up to the hype now.
Yes, I'm living up to the hype. I am consistent, if nothing else, even if it's consistently bad. That's me.
Well, love you guys. The show was awesome today. Let everybody know how they can find you guys, and then we'll close out.
Go ahead, man.
at Raj Herb on Twitter or X, whatever you're calling this day, or This Is Tube is our YouTube channel. We got our wonderful college picks, NFL picks, and Bama versus the World. So you can see this plus all these our shows streaming. And then Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, we're live,
baby. Yeah. Bowmeister.
You can find me right here on YouTube at Football Dash Talk, and of course, right here every Monday morning. And on Thursday and Fridays, Roku TV, Northwest Streaming or Northeast Streaming Sports.
All right. And you know, we're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. EST on the Call Me Mr. U. And Tuesday and Thursday, we're live too. My show, or somebody's show throughout the course of the week. But for the most part, you know, this is the baby right here. So thank you guys for supporting us. Appreciate you so much. And guess what? Thanks again for listening to the Call Me Mr. You, the podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for all of our full-length live episodes. And of course, if you're an audio listener, wherever you enjoy your podcast listening, you can find the Call Me Mr. You, the podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Go change the world. Coach out.